Every time that I come to the sacred desk, try my best to find the mind of the Lord and to try to share with you the things that I understand of the Lord. One of the main things I try to impress upon you is world evangelism. I always repeat that over and over. The theme of every heart should be the cry to world evangelism, to go into all the world, not just in the state, not just in our state, in our city, or in the United States, or our surroundings, but we should have a cry in our heart to go into all the world, because God has said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So we should be going into all the world. And this should be the desire of our heart, is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then along with this, we should have a desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus into the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man Christ Jesus. Or that is to hunger and thirst after the things of God. This should be a cry of our heart, to hunger, to thirst after the things of God. Folks, let me tell you, you can't go all day long with your mind on making money, with your mind on buying and selling, with your mind on visiting your relatives, with your mind on eating and drinking, with your mind on fellowshipping and laughing and talking, with your mind on your face and on your body and on your business and on your finance, and your mind on vanity of vanities. As the Bible said, in the vanity of your minds you are taken. You can't do that and grow in God, nor have anything in God, not even salvation. You can't do that and then come to church all of a sudden and submit yourself to the minister and say, now he's going to feed us tonight. Because how can he feed you? You would spit up everything that he gave you because you're so full of the world. You're so full of the world. Until you would spit up everything. You know, it's like Brother Mike was telling me about his cat. His cat likes rats, and of course cats do. And he said his cat was the rat-eatingest cat he ever seen. Said he saw him the other day, said he ate so many rats until it looks like that the belly was dragging the ground just about it. And said he just thought he didn't have no place for another rat, but said he picked up a board or something, out went a rat and said he got him and he cut down on him and ate him. I believe he said he was about dragging, sure enough then. But anyway, I said that to say this. If you fill your bellies with the husk that the swine eat, then where is there going to be room for the word of the Lord and the things of God? See, where are you going to put it? If all day long you're filled up with the thoughts of the natural carnal mind, then the Bible says you're dying. To be carnally minded is death. Thoughts of foolishness is death. When you do that, then that means that you are carnally minded. Your ego is of money, advantage, position, laughing, feeling, frolics, vanities, passions, whatever, and that your hunger and thirst is that of the flesh, and that your yearning and desire is that of the flesh, and that you're doing all those things that make you relax and make you feel good and make you comfortable and make you thrill, and that satisfying feeling of being full and complete. As long as you do that, you're dead. They that live in pleasure, they are dead while they live. For to be carnally minded is death. Whether your mind is on your children, or on your wife, or on your husband, or on your family, or on your house, or lands, or money, or whatever it is, then you're dead. You're dead. They that live in pleasure as of the world, in trespasses and sin, they are dead while they live. But we who are born again, the Bible said, forsaking our own ways. What does it say that we have to do? One of the things it says that we have to do is hate our life. Now, if I started tonight and I ask each individual, do you hate your life? You know what you would tell me if you told me the truth? You'd say, no, I don't, Brother Pike. As a matter of fact, you think a lot of it. You see that it's full. You see that you have money to take care of the desires of your life. See, to hate your life is to hate what you think as a man or a woman. To hate what you do as a man or a woman. To hate the alluring and the pulling and the tugging that tugs at your heart to be some kind of a celebrity or have some kind of position or to have something in this life, as we say. See, if you don't hate that, then that means you're carnally minded and it means you've just never been born again. Now, I say this for the benefit of babes. Babes, and when I say babes, I mean babes, not people that have been in the gospel for years. But babes, they don't altogether understand. And they're just replacing one thing after another until they come to the right place. But see, you have to hate your life. The Bible said, unless you hate your life in this world, you can't be my disciple. You can't be my disciple because that's another life. And unless you hate it, you may think you're handsome, pretty, may think you look good, you may think all kind of things. But unless you think according to his thoughts, you don't have salvation. Salvation comes by faith, and faith by the hearing of his thoughts, which is the word. And if there's no his thoughts in your heart, there's no his faith to sanctify you. So then, when you think a lot of yourself, you don't think right. Like the songwriter said in the song, I know that you've heard it. The man sings the song, let me think a little more of others and a little less of me. So, to love your neighbor as yourself, to love him as yourself, that is, let's leave off with loving self and love the neighbor. Wouldn't that be better? And love the neighbor just the way that we've been loving ourselves. Wouldn't that be a whole lot better? All right. So Jesus loved us enough to give his life for us. I'm telling you the way to heaven. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what it's going to take. I'm not just telling you something. I'm telling you the truth. To bear witness of the truth, for this cause came I into the world, Jesus said. To bear witness of the truth. So, the Spirit of truth, ye have received the Spirit of truth. The Bible said the Spirit of truth, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, they cannot receive him because they see him not. He is invisible. I can receive him because I see him. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, I see him. We come together in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I see the Lord Jesus. I see always the things that my Father is doing, because he reveals these things to us from heaven. He makes these things known unto us. I hear his voice. I hear his voice. I communicate with him. You that are born of God, you know him. You know him. You hear him. You see him through the eyes of understanding. And we comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length. But the world, they do not see him. Jesus said, you don't hear his voice. He said, you can't hear my words, because it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father. He said, you can't hear my words. You hear sounds, you know, but the word of God, which is spirit and life, you don't hear that. Having ears to hear, you don't have spiritual ears. But he that hath spiritual ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. So I say all these things to you as a way of exhortation to make you stop and think, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Do you hate your own life? Have you forsaken your way? Someone would say, Brother Pike, how much do I have to forsake? Okay, Jesus said, I ask you a question, you answer me, I answer your question. How much of life does a dead man have to forsake? You understand? All right. So you probably don't want to ask me a question. Now, so we see how much is required. To the casting down of imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. That is, as to what the Word says, that's what you think. To meditate in His laws day and night. As to what the Word says, that's what you do. As to what the Word says. And you incorporate this in your body, so that's your body style, that's your lifestyle. From now on, the body is the Lord's, to give the body a living sacrifice. What does that mean? To give the body, as to the mind of Jesus Christ. Give it to the mind of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. Give your body to the mind of Jesus Christ, that it, not you living, but it's His mind, His life, His blood, His body. That whatever He did in His lifetime, it's recorded here in the Bible, that's what you do. You follow in His steps. You remember the vision I told you where I had the vision, I was praying, and I said, Lord, tell me what I must do, show me where I must go. And as I prayed, I went into a vision. And when I went into this vision, I looked and I saw deep footprints in the sand. And I saw them as they were being made. And then I saw that it was the Lord Jesus making those footprints. And then I saw that I was walking behind Him, and when He would take His foot out of His footprints, I'd put mine into His footprints. Every time He'd make a footprint, take His foot out, I would put my foot into it. See, this is what the Bible means, that we should follow in His steps. To say, he that did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. So then, what are we to do? No sin. No sin. Let me clarify this right quick, and then I'm going to read. So when I say that ye sin not, I'm saying ye sin not because He hath taken away your sins in His sight. You're just as blunderous, careless as ever. Like He told Israel, I'm not chosen you because you're righteous people. That isn't why He chose you people. I've not chosen you because you're great people, because the Bible said, fear not, little flock. Israel is a small nation. But I've chosen you to make a name for myself. That is, in calling upon me for my righteousness, my name will be magnified unto all the nations, and people will learn that there's life through the name of Jesus Christ. And God will be magnified as to His mercy, His grace, His love, as to loving His people enough to take their sins upon Himself, that they may be clean and pure from their sins, that they may not have even a conscience of sin. So the body is to the beast, the bastard image is dead as to the fall of that in the garden, that of the beast. It's dead, it's gone, it's buried. And now ye are no more as ye were, but ye are as Christ Jesus. So are you as Him. In Him ye are complete, which means whole, everything, perfect, life, perfection, everything, healing, salvation, prosperity, everything. You've got it all now. But to make this manifest in your mortal body as to what God expects of you, to subject the body, now that you're righteous and the devil can't harm you, then if you really are born of God, in that you will have this treasure on the inside of you, then it'll start showing. The nature will start showing. As to whatever the tree is, the nature will begin to produce fruits accordingly. You have your fruits under holiness, and the end thereof eternal life. So then fruits of holiness will begin to come forth in your body. For I'm not speaking of a mind as to say to do or not to do, as to do's and don'ts. When I say that if you do right, then are ye His. If you don't do right, then are ye not His. Well, that is to say, if you're born of God, you will do right. And if you're not born of God, you won't do right. See, I'm not saying this is just the mind, and if you decide to do right, then you've got it. If you decide not to do right, you haven't got it. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it's heavenly treasure in earthen vessels, that if you're born again, you've got something on the inside that will compel you and constrain you to do right. And because of that, you will do right. And when people see that you do right, they'll know that you're born to that inner spirit. And if you don't perform that, no matter what you confess, you still cannot be born of God. You could not have His spirit on the inside of you and do wrong. You couldn't do that. So then, there's no conscience of sin. Though you stagger, though you stumble, to you, it is not sin. To them I chunder, they stagger and stumble, it is sin. Because they do it as to a desire, they do it as to a will. They do it as to, as we say, like premeditated. So they're guilty when they come before the judge. But you do not desire that. You're not conscious of sin. You're not hungering and thirsting after that. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I am. Well, I'm talking to people that are born again. See, if you're born again, you're not hungering and thirsting after that. You're hungering and thirsting after God. You desire the ways of the Lord. You're not interested in making money and businesses and all these other things. People that have this kind of interest are void of the spirit and mind of God. They've never been born again. But people, that's why the Bible calls it a little flock. Few there be that find it. So, you that are born again, you're different. You're hungering and thirsting after God. You're willing to give up everything for God. The more you know, the more you do. As a babe, you do what you know. As you get older, you do what you know. And the Spirit of God guides you, leads you into all truth and in all righteousness. All thoughts that come to your mind, everything that's unlike God, you cast it down. You don't want it. You don't give place to it. You know, like two men, they're thirsty. They go over to a table. They pick up a bottle. It's filled with liquid. They turn it up to quench their thirst. And both bottles is filled, as we say, with white lightning. See, and both of them, they turn it up and down it goes. Oh, that is to say, one gets a big swallow and another gets a big swallow. One gets a big swallow and he swallows real good and all the way down it goes. Another gets a big swallow and he realizes he's made a mistake. He was looking for water and he starts spitting and sputtering till he gets it out of his mouth. He doesn't give place to it. It doesn't go down in him. See, it's the same way with the world. All these things come to you. All these thoughts come to you. All these ventures are presented to you as to be something in the world, to have a career, to do this, to be outstanding, to be in admiration of men, to make money, to have security. But you that are Christians, you vomit that back up. You spit that back up because you know you got a hold to the wrong thing. See, you're looking for just good, clean water to quench your thirst. And that is, as we say, heavenly water. We say by the washing of the water of the word, we are clean. So I only said that to give you a little illustration as to say both men might turn up the wrong bottle, but the right man, he isn't going to become drunk off the cares of life. When they present themselves to him, he isn't going to digest it, neither is he going to hunger and thirst after it. The man that is a drunkard, he's got an appetite, a nature, a thirst after it, and he was looking for it and he found it. The man that was taken by surprise in that, he had no desire for that. That wasn't what he wanted at all. So we need to wake up, folks. We don't need to get on the soup line. We need to wake up and we need to do something for God. We need to rightly divide the word. We need to differentiate as to what's right and what's wrong. We need to cast down imagination. We need to give this body a complete sacrifice as to a submission to the word, to conform to the word in every way that's possible every day of our life, day and night, to serve him day and night. As Paul said, and our fathers serving him day and night hoped to come under these things when he witnessed before Agrippa. Whereas Paul was trying to say, O King Agrippa, we have come under these things. We have come under these things. Folks, we're not as one struggling to come under these things. We have come under this heavenly treasure. We've come unto, Paul said, unto this great church of God, this great mighty church of the living God, wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. Therefore, being justified by faith, my spirit is just, having been made perfect by the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So then we've come unto this, and we should rejoice, and we should be glad. For we sing that song, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice, and let us be glad in it. Reading in chapter 23, it says, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. This is Jeremiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. And a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name wherein he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I'm like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest were profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein. For I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. And I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood, and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken unto me the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, he shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury. Even a grievous whirlwind, it shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not be turned until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their likeness. Yea, I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man in his house. Thus shall ye say every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered and what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall ye mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the word of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt thou say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee and what hath the Lord spoken? But since ye say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because ye say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying, ye shall not say the burden of the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you in the city that I gave you and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence. I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Now, I could say a lot of things here. I just read one thing right after another here that we could enlarge upon. But the one thing that we see that God is speaking of, the one thing is that you can scatter the sheep. Someone would say, Brother Pike, now this is the way I see it. When you preach hard, you scatter the sheep, and the sheep run off. And again, you show that you are ignorant and err in the scriptures, because this is the way man reasons. Said, and then you don't go out to visit them. Thus you have scattered God's sheep. That again shows that you are ignorant. First of all, the Bible said, withdraw yourself from every brother that walks disorderly, have no company with him. And if a man won't hear the church, let him be unto you as a heathen and a publican. Stay away from him, for evil communication corrupt good manners. So when you preach somebody out, you don't go back to try to get them in. When you preach the word, you don't preach anyone out but devils. You don't. When you trample the wheat, nothing leaves but the chaff. So what he is speaking of is that we do cause them to err if we preach the wrong doctrine, if we preach the wrong thing, and then they get it in their mind that they can do the things of the world, and they can have all kind of things out yonder and mix with the world and be part of the world and all these kind of things. Then we've driven off the sheep. They go. And then there is no way that those people can be corralled again, in that their minds are perverted, unless God works a miraculous thing. So you drive those people off. See, he is telling me that if I dream a false dream, if I dream a dream, people are always dreaming dreams. They got dreams. And if you notice, the dreams always seem to be directed at the shepherd. Despite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. They always got a prophecy. He said a false prophecy to smite the shepherd with their prophesying as to what they say God has said when he's not spoken. And then they drive the sheep off. These are people that drive the sheep off. These are people that mislead. But he goes right here contrary to your thinking. And he says here, if these preachers had stood in my counsel, the first thing that they would have done, they would have preached straight doctrine. They would have preached that you can't do wickedly and evil and have the blessings of God. They would not have called darkness light and light darkness. They would not have confused the people in their minds. But if they had took counsel of me, they would have preached holiness and clean, godly living. And let the people know that they cannot do wickedly and have the blessings of God and the presence of God. So then he was telling them here that unless you preach holiness and godliness and purity and tell the people of their wicked ways and reprove them and rebuke them, even some of them openly that others might see and fear. Unless you do this, you've not stood in my counsel. If you have a congregation of people and those people are still doing wickedly, and you've been preaching to them, it's very obvious that you didn't stand in my counsel. The churches of today, the millions of churches of today, and people of today all around the world, these people of today, many of them are wicked and wretched. And they have preachers. As he said, the priests are committing adultery. Their preachers are committing adultery. He said, and the priests are prophesying lies, and they prophesy for money. And they're concerned about the things of the world. And the Bible said a gift perverteth judgment. So then God said that you're to preach holiness. You're to preach godliness. You're to preach that they're to turn away from their wicked ways. And if you stand in my counsel, if I send you, you'll
speak my word. And my word is that they'll have to turn away from their wicked ways if I'm going to be their God, if I'm going to be in their presence, or else it will be with you like it was Israel when he called them all out of Egypt. And then many of them turned back into Egypt in their heart. And the Bible said with them, many of them, God was not well pleased because they went back into Egypt in their heart. For if the love of Egypt is within you, then the love of God is not within you. If the love of Egypt is within you, the love of Canaan is not within you. Or if the love of the world is in you, the love of God is not in you. So then when you people do these things, I tell you as a minister, when you sit around a TV and you watch non-virtuous things, and when you read the newspapers and you're interested in the ball scores and the things of the newspaper, as do the intellectual mind as to what's happening across the world, instead of reading your Bible, then you're not right with God. You don't have salvation. You don't have this God. You know, there's people that they want to know what the headlines say. They want to know what the score is as to football. They want to read the papers. They want to know what's going on with Russia and what's going on in America and what the president had to say about it. And you'll find them reading newspapers all the time, watching TV all the time. When you want to know something, they're right there to tell you. But brothers and sisters, so far as reading the Word of God and knowing the Word of God and seeking the Word of God and going after the spiritual things of God, they know nothing about that. Because their hunger and their thirst is not after the Word of God. It's not after the things of God. So, if these preachers had prophesied the right thing, they would have prophesied the Word of God, the mind of God. If they had preached the right thing, they would have preached the Word of God. If they had been the right kind of priest, they would have lived the life of God, the life of Christ, that holiness would have been made manifest in their mortal genes, that they would have been men of God that spoke in the behalf of God and spoke as the oracles of God. So then he said, these men are wicked because they didn't teach the people to forsake evil. They didn't tell the people that they had to get away from sin and corruption. They didn't prophesy the right things to the people. Their dreams were not of God. It did not magnify God. It depressed the people. It cast the people down. It made the people feel bad instead of lifting them up and strengthening them. Even though, as I say, chastisement is grievous for the moment. God chastens everyone that cometh unto him. And chastisement is grievous for the moment, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruits of righteousness to them that are exercised therein. So then we see that God has a program and God has a plan, and he isn't satisfied with the pastors in general. He's speaking to pastors here. He's speaking to prophets here. He's speaking to priests here. He's speaking to the ministry. He's not satisfied with them. They are interested in their face. They're interested in money. They're interested in fame and popularity and preeminence and having an income. Too lazy to work. Won't work. You know, you can find some of the most lazy people that ever lived in the ministry. I have seen ministers, many ministers, and I have seen some of the laziest folks in the world. And I find out that a lot of them are only in the ministry because they are lazy. They figure it's an easy way to make a living. Sometimes they get the shock of their life when they run into the real ministry and realize that it's fasting and praying and seeking God and laying in the altars all night, howling for the people, asking God to have mercy on the people. When they find out it's a diligence of living a clean, godly, pure, upright, overcoming life, somebody says you can't do that. Don't tell me you can't do that, folks. See, don't tell me you can't do that. I don't like to talk to people that tell me that you can't do that. Every man, every woman can live holy and godly and pure. The Bible said, and the grace of God hath appeared unto every man, teaching them that they must live holy and godly and righteous in this present world. So then you can do it. All this thing about being saved by faith and not living right is corruption. There's nothing to that. God said that's evil, that's wicked, that's wretched, that perverts the minds of the people, that makes parasites. All of this charismatic move where they say we love God, we praise God, we sing praises unto God. The Bible said praises is comely for the upright. All of those people are going to die and go to hell doing that. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, not all of them. All of them will die and go to hell. The Bible said, everyone that forgets God shall be turned into hell. And when you don't perform the word of God, you forgot God, you'll be turned into hell. That means that you are a charismatic order in the earth. Somebody said, but charisma means Christ-like, Brother Pike. Charisma has more than one meaning. One meaning has to do with pagan gods. So then it depends on whether you're in Christ or not. Those people that are in those charismatic moves on TV, all of these things that you're watching, those people are on their way to hell. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I said that concerning Jim Baker. I said that concerning Pat Robinson. I said that concerning the others. It turned out that way, didn't it? It turned out that way that there was corruption and the others are in the same condition. You say, you mean everybody on television is going to hell? I'm not saying that. I'm saying these preachers that are on TV that's carrying on this charismatic move and teaching people that they can get to heaven without old time holiness is going to hell. And all their followers are going to hell. But the Bible said if you bid anything, God speed your partakers of it. It said that if someone comes to your house and he isn't carrying the truth, don't so much as even let him in your house to bid him God speed. Don't feed him. Don't do anything to him. Send him on his way. If somebody comes to your house and they're just struggling, they don't know any better, all mixed up in their mind religiously, you can take them in, you can feed them, you can help them. But when a preacher comes to your house and you know he's perverted and preaching the wrong thing, if you take him into your house and give him a meal, knowing that, you bid him Godspeed, and in the day of judgment, you'll be held accountable as bidding him Godspeed and partakers of his evil. The same way if you bid a God man speed, you'll be partakers of his righteousness. All of these people that are on television teaching this charismatic thing, it doesn't matter whether they're on television or whether they're not on television, whether they're in publications of the world or whether they're not in publications of the world, all of them are going to hell. The Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. So then those people are going to hell. The preachers are going to hell. The blind leading the blind, they all fall into the ditch. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that liveth right preaches it's running from one end of the world to another. Just constantly, nothing but reflectors. They reflect the good things of God and off they go. And they do their own thing. They're going to hell because they're nothing but reflectors. But people that love God are a unit. They are a unit from here all the way across the entire world. Wherever they are at, they are linked together as one. Not as a deceitful group of men that's trying to establish their own thing and set up something in their own way and trying to rob another man's hive over here, as we say, to get what he's got so that they can feed them on sales or do their own things. That's not the right way. God links people together and they're one unit. Just one unit. You know, and these people that are so wishy-washy with a backbone that's so wishy-washy, they get with you and they stand with you and their holiness and their godliness and they believe in what you say, and just as quick as they get with somebody else to get a place, to get a meal ticket, they sell their birthright for a morsel of bread to be able to get in to preach or say something or to fellowship or to find favor with these people. And they go in there wishy-washy without a backbone and they can't stand for anything. And if anything is mentioned of holiness or as the other things of God, as to the brotherhood, they shrink. They just shrink up. And they're like a chameleon that changes with every color leaf. And they're like Peter. When Peter stood there and Paul blamed him to his face because he was to be blamed. And Paul was saying, Peter, you stood with us and you favored us and you said that you were a Christian. And then when you hear that the Jews is coming up, then you forsake us and you go over here with these people. Over here. See, not going to confess the brotherhood out here, but going over here with these people. See, and this is the way some folks are. And just as I'm blaming you to your face tonight, that's exactly what Paul did to Peter. You preachers that do that, you are not right with God. You don't have the right understanding with God. And as Paul said, Peter, I blame you to your face because you are to be blamed. I'm not going to misconstrue the things of God. And he said to the people, who have bewitched you, that this teaching is a bewitching thing and you should not listen to it. because the Lord Jesus Christ died for you. And you've begun in the spirit, or you're now made perfect by the flesh. So then, I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you what it's going to take. It doesn't matter whether you are a famous fellow or whether you're not a famous fellow. What has that got to do with it? Because you draw a crowd. Like the Pope, you draw a crowd. Like someone else, you draw a crowd. Like Billy Graham, you draw a crowd. Or whoever it might be, what's that got to do with it? If you draw 10 or 10 million, what's that got to do with it? That has nothing to do with the Bible. The president draws a crowd. Men that are billionaires draw crowds. People that put on frolics and put on the feeding draw crowds. Dance and merit. A fire can draw a crowd. See, that has nothing to do with it. We're talking about salvation. Like when over here a man is preaching to a multitude, having a citywide revival. All of a sudden God stops him and sends him over here to one man to tell him about the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, what is the crowd? What does that have to do with it? I'm telling you that no matter who you are, whether your name is in lights or whether it isn't in lights, or whether you are a great preacher as to a reputation, or whether you are just a little feller, someone would say, you are going to die and you are going to hell. God is going to put you in the fire for your charismatic way of doing and your foolish way of teaching and indoctrination as to cause people's minds to be perverted because you are perverted. And you are blind and you're leading the blind and all of you fall into the ditch. Because the man that does not speak God's word, he is not sent by God. He is blind, he is perverted. And he is a blind one that's leading the blind. And because he cannot see, then they cannot see because he is their eyes. And all of them fall into the ditch. So then you are on your way to hell. If you've got an ambition to know a lot, to be something, to get you programs and to have fame and popularity and all these things to be before the people, you're perverted. You don't have God. You're not born again. You're on your way to hell. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I heard them say some good things. Jesus heard the devil say some good things. When the devil said, it is written, that was a good thing. And he quoted it verbatim. That was a good thing. See, but he took a good thing and perverted it. Someone said, you can't do that to a good thing, Brother Pike. But the Bible says that they have taken the word of God, the truth, and changed it into a lie. You can take the word of God, the truth, and change it into a lie. But the writer said, I'm set for the defense of the truth, and wisdom is justified of her children. So then you can take the word of God and pervert it, change it into a lie, and make it fit a sloppy, slouchy way of living. Pardon my expression. So then you can take the word of God, you can pervert the word of God, and you can make it fit your operation as to building your church, as to having your ministry, as to having your congregation, as to having your lifestyle. And you can pervert it and make it fit that, but you'll still go to hell at the end of the way. The Bible said all men's ways are right in their eyes. Everything they do is right. Doesn't matter what you tell them. They say, I feel that this is the right way because this is my income. This is my way of life. This is the way I feel to do it. This is what God told me. But folks, let me tell you something. Paul said, if any of you think like that, let you acknowledge these things that I'm saying, that this is the commandments of Almighty God. So then, if you think yourself, he said, to be a prophet or to be spiritual, acknowledge that these things that I say is the word of God. This is the word of Almighty God. Somebody would say, well, how do I know, Brother Pike, as to you indifferent from anybody? There's a way you can know. The Bible says the child is known by his doings. Whatever Brother Pike does, that's what Brother Pike is. Somebody said, well, I know that he does what, but I think he's, no, that's not the way it works. See, if a man gathers junk, then is he a junk man? If a man paints, then is he a painter? Somebody said, well, I know a man that paints and he's not a painter. No, he hasn't been painting long, or else he's a painter. Because you can't paint without becoming a painter. You can't do those things and get experience. Now, you might paint, as we would say, and not be a painter in that you don't care to be a painter and you just want to slop around with the brush, as they call it, on the job. But a man knows, even when he slops around, he knows how to paint. He knows better than that. So you can't learn and not know nothing. There's no way. So you're bound to know something. So if you hear and hear and hear, you're going to believe something. Someone would say a believer and then go to heaven. No, to believe a lie and then be damned. You can believe something. You can believe it wrong. You can believe it right. It depends on who's teaching you. It depends on how gullible you are. It depends on whether you're a wise man or not. The Bible said the wise man looketh well to his going. He ponders the path of his feet. He counts the cost. Some men just do anything. If they want to buy a car, they got lots of money. They got more money, somebody said, than they have sense. They buy the first car that comes along. Some other man may not have as much money, but more sense. And he'll get a better car because he might drive two or three before he decides which one he wants. See, I see people around here, cunning, slick tongue in among the brethren. I see them cunning, they sell each other cars, and they know when they sell them cars that they are not right. They know it. I know it. I catch their spirits, and I know that they know. But to get that dollar and to make that $15 or that $1,000 or that X, I warned you against it. I told you better not do that. I told men in contracting they better not go out there and try to lift everything they can off of a man just because they think they can get it from him. God will burn your fields for it. Down the road, you're going to pay for it. It's going to sting. It's going to be bitter. The Bible said riches gotten by labor shall increase. But if you get riches deceitfully, I'll cut you off in the midst of your days. And in the end, you'll be a fool. And then whose riches shall they be? So that I tell you all these things because I want you to prosper. He that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins. The Bible said whatever that man doth shall prosper. But if he doesn't confess his sins and forsake his sins, he will not prosper. He will not prosper. These that are going through this charismatic order, they're making confessions, but they're not forsaking anything. They're still in the world. They're still practicing the things of the world. And they are perverting people by the millions. Because somebody says these people are happy. They say these other people are sad. All they talk about is sacrifice, sacrifice. But I like these people. They're happy. They go dancing. They go volleyballing. And they go swimming. And they go racing. And they do all of these things. And they're in all the parties. And they have the best kind of time. And they just praise God and love God. And they're the cream of the crop. But they're not. They're devils. They're devils. If a person goes after the thing of the world, it's because he is a devil. The Bible said Satan loves the things of this world. Satan savors the things of this world. The Bible said if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father isn't there. Isn't ball games of the world? Isn't swimming in all these things of the world? I'm talking about getting out with the frolics now. Aren't all these things of the world? Isn't that right? Aren't they children of the world? Doesn't ball game belong to little children? See, they're after money, they're after prestige, they're after fame, they're after popularity. Why do they do these things? Because they're of the world. And why do they find favor and fellowship with the world when the church is always put down? Because the Bible said the world loveth their own or its own, and they are of the world. Why are all these doors open for people? To put them up and put them up and put them up in money for television programs and big evangelists and all these other, because they are of the world. They teach the things that soothing. They tickle the ears. They tell the things that please the people. You know, I get up here and I'd say, folks, come to little Bethlehem. We've got volleyball and we've got baseball, and if that ain't enough, we got pool tables. And whatever you'd like to do, well, that's what you can do, because we love the Lord and we know that God is love, and we've got over all the stuff about don't do it, don't do it, and we can just do anything and have the biggest kind of time. The preacher, he can do anything. Somebody says, now this is the way of life. We can just do anything, anything. And so you take up your abode at that place. And the first news you know, the preacher gives you the church because he's got your wife and gone. Let's give the Lord a hand. Because in that church you can do anything. So he done anything. He just took your wife and left her. All right. So then it's better to have a few restrictions. It's better to have the right way. And another thing, folks, I say this. The Bible said when you take that way of life and you do those things, your wife is going to become a harlot. The Bible said she's going to become a harlot. You can count on it. And the man's going to become a whoremonger. He's going to become a drunkard. When you do those things, because he's already drunk off of the cares of life. See, and it's just going to be vomit. All of my tables are filled with vomit. That which I spew out of my mouth, that which is lukewarm. I would that you be hot or cold. So he says to the preacher here, he said, you preach old time holiness. You preach godliness. God is the spirit of holiness. And you have this as to serve God in holiness and righteousness all the days of your life. And this you have to yourself, your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. Like the preacher said many years ago, holiness or hell. Like the woman from the Bahamas the other night when my wife was talking to a sister over there about the conditions of some of the Christians over there. She said, well, said this generation to me is crazy. Said this young generation is crazy. Said you can't tell them nothing. And she was talking over the phone to Sister Betty. She said, the way I feel what was wrong 50 years ago is still wrong. So, see, around the world there's still people that believe in holiness. Around the world there's still people that believe in the right thing. I want Bethlehem to believe in holiness. I want Bethlehem to be born of God. And when you say born of God, that means you're born of holiness. Born of holiness. Don't be one of these reprobates that's trying to mix with the world and get out there and say, well, I've got to trim this thing up a little and lay my religion down right here and I'll pick it up on the way out. Because I've got this over here and I'm going to meet this brother and this sister over here and I can't, holiness won't mix with this and truth won't mix with this and I have to shade the truth a little bit and I'm a little bit evasive right here and I can't really be holy over here, you know. I'll have to, the ladies shorten their dresses a little bit and the man, he dykes up a little different, you know, as to the attire of the world and they present a new program altogether. See, don't be a hypocrite. God said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He said, you're standing between me and my people. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. You that think I'm altogether such as you are, he said, someday I'll meet you face to face. And he says, as a bear that's robbed of her cubs, I'll tear you into pieces. He said, for all of your prayers are abomination to me. I'm not listening to your prayers. I don't listen to the prayers of the wicked. And he said, all of your offerings are abomination in my sight. All the money that you give, he said, that means nothing to me. It's an abomination to me. When you give that, that means nothing to me. He said, it's an abomination to me. The preacher might take it. The local congregation might take it, but not me. He said, it's an abomination to me. I don't need your money, he said. If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you to feed me. I own the cattle of a thousand hills and all the gold and silver's mine. The cattle of a thousand hills. So then he said, all of your offerings, all of your prayers. And he said, the wicked never have any peace. I never give peace to the wicked. I'm the one that forms light. I'm the one that creates darkness. I'm the one that makes peace. And I'm the one that creates evil. I, the Lord, do all of these things. I do these things. In the book of Isaiah, he tells us. See, I'm the one that does these things. I believe it's 45:7. So then, I do these things. I'm the one that does these things. See, evil comes because I've sinned it. I have my way in the good and evil. I work all things after the counsel of my own will. I rule in the affairs of men. When a president comes in, I'm the one that put him there, whether he's good or whether he's bad. And if the people do good, I give them a good president. If they do bad, I give them a bad ruler. Check it out. It's exactly that way, like the song we wrote. Always God raises up a wicked man when people become wicked people. And he makes them pay. But folks, when you seek God, when you turn to God, even as a nation, and call on God, God will give you a good leader. He'll give you a good leader. Same way in a church, he'll give you a good leader. If you try to do right, he'll give you a good leader. If you don't do right, he'll give you the wrong leader. Because he'll raise up somebody that'll sweep you off of your feet. And too late, you'll find out that you're in the web and the spider will close in for the kill. All right, so then we see that God wants holiness. And that God doesn't like these pastors that has driven away his people and not visited them. That is to say, through ugliness or whatever they might do, through harshness or whatever they might do, when these people are gone, they have been driven away through their arrogancy, through them not walking upright, through whatever it might be as to deceitfulness and not being the right example. People have been offended and they've left. Though many people are going to leave, yet the Bible said, blessed is he that is not offended in me. Though the Bible said we're rude in speech, and yet not in knowledge, and many things we offend all. But there is a thing of God. whereas chastisement is grievous, and you don't need to leave because you're chastened. But if you're of God, you'll repent and be zealous and come back and make your path straight. So then the Bible said, make straight paths for yourself, lest the lame be turned aside, but rather let it be healed. Lift up the feeble hands. Let's do the right thing. Let's stand together. So then where does all the charismatic order stand? Like one on thin ice. Where do they stand? In danger of being eternally doomed. Mocking God. Lightly esteeming the things that he has told them to do. So where do we stand at Bethlehem? In the same identical place, unless we do according to the words of righteousness. Folks, let me tell you, as one individual to another individual. Let me tell you, Jesus said, what I say to one, I say to all. Every man, every boy, every girl, every woman. When I say that, boys and girls, it's old enough to understand. According to what you've received, that's what he requires. What he's told you. He won't require nothing more than he's given you. If a cup of water I place within your hand, then a cup of water is all that I demand. But the thing is, the Bible said, to whom I've committed much, I'll require the more. Now, let me tell you, every individual, you're going to have to walk circumspectly. You're going to have to walk according to holiness, according to righteousness, according to godliness. You're going to have to cast down every thought, make it clean and make it holy, and spit this mess out of your mouth. Spiritually speaking, that Satan is trying to force you to drink. Get it out of your mouth. Stay away from charismatic groups as to giving yourself to them. If you get a chance to visit, talk to them about God, help them, that's fine. But evil communications corrupt good manners. And those people, some of them are just babes, it's caught in that, that needs your help, that needs deliverance, that needs guidance. You need to get the truth to them. And when they hear it, they'll come out of it. But on the other hand, there are many, many of them that's come together. And those people are not right with God. Neither do they have the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, but I heard them shout. I saw them shout. I heard them speak in tongues, Brother Pike. It doesn't matter if you did hear them speak in tongues. And you did see them shout. The rain is on the unjust as well as the just. And if they believe, while the blood is on the seat of atonement, they can have a revival. And they can shout. And not only that, but that preacher can be a devil. And get up, and the Bible said, though they be ministers of darkness, as to their understanding, their intellect is ugly, yet they can get up, and by transformation of their minds, when they get in the rain, get under conviction, feel the presence of God, they can quote scripture, they can say things, they can do things. They can just get so exhilarated, it looks like they're lit up like a lamp and still be of the devil. The rain is on the tear, and the tear can drink all the water it wants to while the rain is coming down. When it quenches its thirst, it's still a tear. It's still a tear. When the pig wallers in the mud, he is a pig. If he gets out and you wash him and put a bowl around his neck, he's still a pig. No matter where you take him, he is a pig. Like some people that run from their troubles, and when they get there, they still got their troubles, because the problem to begin with was the individual. They're the ones that trouble themselves. They can't get away from their trouble. And the Bible said this people, while they promise people liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, being in bondage by their human senses as to the beggarly elements of this world. That is to be carnal minded, to have the love of the world on them. So then I'm not promising you something out of corruption, but out of the pureness of heart, as God has said, so that you might live holy, godly. The Bible said, for in this present world you should live holy and godly. And folks, I don't care if you belong to Little Bethlehem, if you're Brother Pike's followers, Brother Brannan's followers, Brother Terrell's followers. It doesn't matter whose followers you are. Brother Roberts, it doesn't matter. Billy Graham's followers, it doesn't matter. If you are not holy, if you're not born again, you're never even going to see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual thing that's seen through eyes of understanding. And the veil has to be moved by the Spirit of God and light before you can ever even see the kingdom of God. Because it comes not by observation of your natural eyes. All right. So then we see what a great letter Paul said that I've written unto you. What a great thing that Isaiah has brought unto us. What a great thing the ministry presents, even as I present this to you. That you have to be holy. That you have to be godly. That you have to be pure. And being part of the congregation of Bethlehem isn't going to take you to heaven. Unless you genuinely are born again and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So then if you are my children, then you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess this even as a great man of God said one time. A fellow met him on the sidewalk. I've spoke this to you before. And the man was drunk and wobbling about. And he said to him, he said, "Don't you remember me?" And when the man said, "No," he said, "I'm one of your converts." And the man politely said, "I know you must be, because you couldn't possibly be one of God's. You'd have to be my convert. So I confess that I might meet some that are my converts, to the extent they might have been converted to this extent, that they might have heard the word of God, and they might have heard it by my lips, and it might have made them change their mind about some things. But if they're not living right, they're not God's converts. And they're not my converts as to my children. Because my converts as to my children are people that do the things I say. They that love me keep my commandments. And Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me, and wherever I am, that's where they are." If you're my sheep as a shepherd in the behalf of Christ, then it means you follow me. And wherever I am, there you'll be. And you won't be doing the things that's unlike Christ or unlike the things that I do toward Christ. Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You won't be doing those things not and be able to confess that you're my sheep. You're going to have to do the things I tell you to do and the things I try to present to you as I try to be an example to you to live the right kind of life. So then somebody said, "Well, the first thing I'd like to do is put my finger on your life." That's the first thing you ought to do, and you ought to have backbone enough that while I'm giving you liberty to come right up here and stand right beside me and do it before the public. Let's give the Lord a hand. When they have a wedding, the first thing is ask if anybody has anything to say about it. Now's the time to say it. If not, don't go out there, hide, and go out there as a hypocrite and catch some little child off and ravish its little mind and steal its virtues by lying to them about the ministry or whatever. Be bold enough to step up and say, "This is the way it is. I'll show you." Put your finger on it. Put your finger on it. That's what you should do. All right. Carry just a minute to give you a chance to do it. I say again, someone says, "Well, that would be out of order." Wouldn't be nothing out of order. I gave you open house. Have you ever done that, Brother Pike? I certainly have. It wouldn't do to give me open house if things had gone wrong, unless the Lord told me to leave. All right, let's sing together. So then, let's forever hold our peace and let the people serve God in holiness, righteousness, all the days of their life. Let them live clean and godly and upright. And if you see Brother Pike where you can help me, you come and tell me. If I see where I can help you, I'll come and help you. Don't go around rebuking the elders. Don't go around rebuking the elders and treat them as fathers. If something you don't understand, bring it to the brotherhood. Like Paul said, he had a dispute with a man down at Antioch. Paul didn't have to go to the brotherhood. He said, "No man addeth anything unto me." He said, "Though they might seem to be somewhat, they still add nothing to me. He already see, received of God. But for the sake of the brethren, for the sake of the conference, for the sake of the man, to let the man know he was also subject to the brotherhood as being in submission one to another," he said, "we'll go over and we'll settle it at the conference," which he did at Pentecost. All right, folks, I love you. I preached this way. I had a few other things I wanted to say, but I preached this way a little bit tonight, just in the way of exhortation, because I don't want you on the soup line. Can we sing together? So nobody gets the wrong idea. I preach this wonderful blessing of God. He that is born of God cannot sin. You pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. See, and I preach these things. How can I know that I pass from death unto life? Because you have love on the inside of you. God is love. You have God in there. And that means if God's in there, you've been born again. And that means you've been born again, you pass from death unto life. If you're born again, I say to you again, you can't be unborn. There's no way. Somebody said, but suppose, Brother Pike, that I just took an ocean to go back and do my own thing. Then where would that put you in your preaching? It would make my preaching very effective. It would prove you to be the devil that you was when you come in. It would just be showing up in you. You didn't have nothing to start with. Somebody said, well, what if a Christian does that? If a Christian should do that, I think the whole world was going to fall in, because it's impossible for a Christian to do that. There ain't no possible way a Christian can do that. It's impossible for God to lie, because he is God, the Spirit of Truth. And it's just as impossible for you to be unborn once you're born again into the kingdom of God. It's just as impossible for a son of God to sin as it is for God to lie. Because a son of God is born of God. And that which is born of God, what does the Bible say? He overcometh the world. That which is born of God overcometh the world. And this is that overcometh the world, even your faith. That is your faith in his righteousness as to being complete in him. So if you're born of God, you overcome the world. That's settled. Let's sing this little chorus, can we? To be like Jesus. Just to be like Jesus. On earth alone. To be like him. All through life's journey. From earth to glory. Just to be like him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On earth I long to be like him. By grace forgiven, I'm akin to heaven, on earth alone, just to be like, can you sing that with me now? To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, on this earth alone. To be like him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask, just to be like him. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Can you sing that with me now? Oh, it's changing me. Changing.
changing me. Oh, it's changing me. It's changing me. Oh, the life and the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Don't let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us that mind of Christ, the Father that sinned the Son, for it's in Thy shining glory I can see Thy Holy One. My hope is to be like Him, so let Thy will be done. Come into my heart. Come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Can you sing it with me again now? Come in to my heart. The altars are open. Come in to my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. For this is the day, this is the day the Lord hath made, the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it, I'll be glad in it. This is the day Lord hath made. We will rejoice, we'll be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day that my Lord had. One more time together. Well, this is the day, this is the day Lord hath. I will rejoice, and I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it, glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice, I'll be glad in it. For this is the day, this is the day. Can we give Him a hand? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So this is the day. All right, let's sing a little more, can we? When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, this life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh, so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me that I can make it after all.
Sing it again.
For after all, life is over, and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain, oh, so tall, looking over that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me grace that I can make it after all. For after all, life is over, and my burdens have, and I stand upon the mountain, oh, so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me faith that I can make it after all. And he was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time.
Can you sing that with me?
Waiting patiently in line, he was here all the time. Across the bridge bears no more sorrow.
Can you sing it with me?
And across the bridge there's no more strife, for the sun's gone to shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again.
Can you sing that with me?
Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across. Happy again. we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior on the way. I asked him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. He said across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Said across the bridge, there's no more pain. And the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll love the Lord. Let's sing this little chorus. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be all ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Can you sing that with me? Where will you be? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will, can you sing one more time? Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing? All ages roll throughout eternity. I ask this question, where will you be?
Let's lift our hands up together. Sing this little chorus together. I will praise him.
I will praise him. My will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let's give him glory, all ye people, for the blood has washed away so I will praise him.
Richard Donalds, if he's back there, to come and dismiss us. Is Richard back there?
Angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time. We're going to sing it once again while our brother's coming. And time shall be no more.